close your eyes for just a moment, please. And if you'd say, Lord, would you change my heart and life tonight and draw me closer to you? Would you change my heart and life tonight and draw me closer to you? Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight, filled with your spirit or controlled completely with your spirit? And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said, Amen. Now, while we were down there in the Great Smoky Mountains, we got to see some things there in the national park down there, but we also got to spend a couple days at Dollywood. And our boys are big roller coaster people, and I've always enjoyed roller coasters. And there was a roller coaster at Dollywood called Thunderbolt. I think it's the most intense wooden roller coaster that I've ever ridden, or I'm just getting older. We're still on. Oh, Thunderhead, okay. I thought you was getting in the spirit up there waving into something, but he, okay, I was thinking Thunderbolt. I apologize, Jason, Thunderhead. But I believe it's probably one of the most intense wooden roller coasters, emphasis on wooden roller coasters, that's my favorite, that I've ever ridden, or it could be that I'm getting older and I just don't remember the others. Or it could be that I'm getting older and it doesn't take as much to scare me. I'm not sure which one that is. But let's consider it the first option, the most intense wooden roller coaster that I've ever ridden, perhaps. And listening as you ride. How many of you are roller coaster people? I know I've asked you that before. How many really enjoy roller coasters? Keep your hands up here. I want to take an official survey. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Not quite half. 9 counting me, so about half. How many of you hate roller coasters? Okay, all right. Well, I think we're about outnumbered there. But so hopefully you'll get the analogy here. But you know, when you're riding a wooden roller coaster in particular, and you first start out, and then you look at this great big hill that you're going to go up, and there's a chain drive underneath you. And it starts chunking, like chunk, 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 you know, as you're going up. And it's about that point that I'm beginning to wonder, why in the world am I riding this thing? And then I start praying, like the Lord said, well, you're the dumb one that got on it. No, actually, then I start praying, Lord, protect us. Help us to stay in our seats. Lord, help us. And I found something about rides. I'm learning more and more about myself when it comes to rides. There's two things that I want to be able to grip something. I want to get a hold of something. And sometimes they're real easy to get a hold of something to grip. You know, like it's right maybe in front of you or something. But sometimes I have to kind of search around a little bit. Like, what can I get a hold of? And I like my feet to be on something as well. And I've noticed that those where my feet dangle, I don't enjoy as much because I'm a little bit scared. But I'm thinking in my brain, I'm keeping myself safe, so I'm going to hold on. I'd hate to be that rod or that bar that I'm holding because I'm like, you know, like this. You talk about people holding on to the pew during invitation. My grip is probably, and I think that I'm actually keeping myself safe. But you know, in reality, what's keeping me safe? The seatbelt and maybe the harness that I have or the bar in front of me or something. One of those rides, I remember this girl, you know, they go around, check everything, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, I got a little bit of a pooch here, you know, and I had it where I thought I wanted it, and by golly, she pushed it harder. And I'm like, okay, and then I got on that ride, and I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus, that she pushed it in, because I feel more secure. But we feel secure because of what we're doing, but in reality, it's the seatbelt or the harness that we have or something that's really keeping us safe. Do you know, there's a lot of analogies to a roller coaster, comparing it to a Christian life, that we serve the Lord. You know, there's several things that I've jotted down. Sometimes we ask ourselves, why did I get myself into this? Just like going up that big hill where it's going chunk, 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 chunk. And usually that's after we've sinned and gone against God. And we're like, okay, why in the world did I do that? Because look at the mess it caused. In life, as in a roller coaster, there's ups and downs. Y'all agree with that? There's curves. There's scary moments. Y'all agree with that? And there's things that we do not expect in life, in roller coasters, at least the first time that we ride it. And again, and when we're going through those scary times in life, it may help us to think that we're keeping ourselves safe and secure. But the truth of the matter is, it's the seatbelt and harness. And you know who that is in the Christian life? It's really the Lord keeping us safe. It's the Lord that's keeping us in our seat. It's the Lord that's keeping us saved, if you will. Because, well, I believe that once you're saved for eternity. If you're truly born again, that's according to the Bible. Several analogies. Tonight, we're continuing our series, How Big Is God? How big is God? And we're going to be looking at, He's big enough to bring peace in scary times. He's big enough to bring peace in scary times. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Familiar passage of Scripture, but I've never quite looked at it this way that I'm aware of. It's one of my favorite passages in Scripture, actually. You know, I find myself saying that quite a bit. So far, I have at least 100 favorite passages in the Bible, right? No, probably more than that. But I say, you know, this is really a cool story, a neat story. And it is so applicable. And I believe God brought us to this because, let me ask you, are you going through a scary time right now? Are you going through a scary time right now? Well, if you can say, nope, not at all, well, praise the Lord. You might have a scare coming up anytime. I've heard it put this way, you know, you're either coming out of a trial or going into a trial, or in that little lull between trials. It's kind of that way in scary moments. You say, well, I'm not in a scary moment now, but you may be coming out of a scary moment. You may be about ready to go into a scary moment. And the things we're going to talk about tonight should help you and encourage you in your walk with God. If you don't leave here as a child of God in fellowship with the Lord, a little bit encouraged and a little bit strengthened and a little bit better equipped, you feel, to face the bad days that may be ahead, there's something wrong. Because God's word is to be encouraging and to strengthen us and to give us peace and encouragement in difficult times. We're going to be looking at, again, Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and then we're going to go through chapter 5 and verse 1. Just a few verses. This is also recorded in Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel. It says, and the same day as what? Well, the same day, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, look back in chapter 4. Most of chapter 4 is red. Jesus is teaching the people that have been following him, including his disciples and all the crowds that gathered around. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4, which I don't have, will not show up on the monitor, but it says, and he began again, that's Jesus, to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So he's done that more than once. One time he got in Peter's boat in particular, but he gets in a boat, they cast him out a little bit, people can see him, he's teaching the people. So we got a whole day of teaching. But the same day, here we go, this is at the Sea of Galilee. They're going to be heading to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. It says, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So he's talking to his disciples. Let us go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. All right? Everybody got that? Say, uh-huh. Okay. All right. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. You know, even as he was in the ship. What is that talking about? It seems like it refers back to verse 1 of chapter 4. As the ship that he was teaching out of, they got in the ship and they took off. Okay? Everybody still with me on that? Okay, all right. It says, and they sent the multitude away, but it says, and there were also with him other little ships. So the disciples and Jesus were in one ship, but there was other little ships that wanted to follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but if I had a ship and Jesus was going over there, I'd get in my ship and want to go over there too. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, does anyone know anything about, you've heard me say before, but I'm not sure it stuck or what, but the storms on the Sea of Galilee, why in the world were there vicious storms in the evening? Okay, there were steep mountains around certain parts of the Sea of Galilee, and what I understand, very steep valleys, mountains with steep valleys, and the temperatures in the mountains are typically colder. The temperatures on the Sea of Galilee are typically warmer, and you get cold air meeting warm air, and you end up with a storm, right? So big storms come up on the Sea of Galilee from what I understand. Now, keep in mind, of the 12 apostles, how many of them were fishermen? Four, at least four. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. So at least four were fishermen. Now, they'd be used to this, right? I mean, they'd experienced this before, most likely, right? So they're probably the ones that are handling the show right now, so to speak. They're probably the ones making sure that this boat is going to get from this shore across the Sea of Galilee as we go east. Would y'all agree with that? Okay. Experienced fishermen. But there was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. That would be a little bit scary, don't you think? How many of you love to be on the water? How many of you are just a little bit scared of water? Okay, how many of you just fit right between those two? You're not scared of it, and you're not fond of it. It's just kind of in the middle. Okay. I remember South Branch of the Potomac River. We rented a kayak, up there on the South Branch of the Potomac up around Moorfield, West Virginia. And we just had a little bit of time because it was about quitting time. So we got in our little, it didn't turn out good. I didn't put on my life jacket. It wasn't that super deep. I don't think we would have drowned it, but we only had a little bit of time, so we didn't go the right direction on that river. So we went the wrong direction on the river some, and we were trying to go as far as we could, of course, and, you know, all wet, lost our camera. What else are we losing at? But that was a little bit of scary of a moment. And Amy's main thing was, you didn't have your life jacket on. So she was scared. She was kind of, I guess she was a little concerned about me. But water is not my thing. Now, I can swim, and I can water ski. I've done all that. But there's times that water scare me. Don't expect me, right in my home area, they got whitewater rafting. On the New River, that's right where I'm from. I remember in high school, you know, that was big. That's when that stuff blew up down there, and I got, everybody was going whitewater rafting. I've never done it. I had a free opportunity one time. I asked my dad, and my dad said, I'd prefer you not to. So I was like, okay, I won't. And then if you get really good at it, you go to the Gali River when they drain Somersville Lake, where I learned to ski and spent a lot of time on the lake because I had a friend that had a boat. But I'm not going to do it, okay? I don't plan on doing it. It would not be fun to me. I'd be scared. I've heard too many stories about people getting trapped under rafts and all that. How many of you have whitewater rafted before? All right, wow. Six or seven of you. All right, well. God bless your heart. but that's right in my back door down there, so where I grew up. It says, verse 38, and he, that's Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship. That's the stern of the ship, right? Stern. Asleep on a pillow. They talk like this was probably a rowing pillow, leather pillow of some sort. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, I figure it was a little bit louder than that. And I figure it was a little bit more intense than that. I wouldn't be surprised if Peter wasn't the one that asked the question, because he's the one that's got the mouth on him most of the time. Master, carest not that we perish? And it was probably fear in his voice, right? And he arose, that's Jesus, and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Was it? Yeah, it was still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I thought that's kind of cool. It says a great storm came up, and here's a great calm. Kind of cool. How big is God? He can control the elements, can't he? It says, and he said unto them, that's Jesus saying unto his disciples, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Wow. Imagine the disciples hearing that. And it says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another. They're like, wow. I mean, they were scared of the storm, but now they're like in awe of who this Jesus is. Now, they don't quite have all the pieces of the puzzle put together yet. Now, there was a belief there, yeah, that this is the Messiah, but they haven't quite recollected. They haven't quite put all the pieces together in a sense of seeing the full picture of who this Messiah, who Jesus is, and the power that he has. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey? Now, I'm not sure. They probably wanted to make sure that Jesus didn't hear that part. Don't you figure? Yeah, okay. Is he asleep? Boy, wonder what manner of man this is. Wow. Because they wouldn't want him to say, to probably hear him say that because it shows that they didn't quite get it yet. Chapter 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Did they make it? They came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Tonight, how big is God? He's big enough to bring peace in scary times. Number one, this was a scary time. All right? This was a scary time. Don't get any thoughts that it wasn't. It was a scary time, even to those. Now, there might have been a degree of scaredness, if that a word, a degree of scaredness between those who were fishermen and those that weren't. You know, the ones that weren't were like, ah! But I think there was plenty of scared to go all the way around. There's plenty of fear going all around. It says in verse 37, a great storm of wind. So you had wind going on. It also says in verse 37, and the waves beat into the ship. And the third part of that, okay, wind fine, waves fine, but this one would really get me. When my feet start getting wet and I'm looking down and saying, hey, there's more water in this boat than there ought to be, that's when I'm going to say, oh, there's a problem here. It says, so that it was now full. You know what can happen to full boats, don't you? Okay. While we were in that area, we did listen to a little bit of a timeshare thing, and we got free tickets to go look at this Titanic Museum. That's pretty cool. It went down, right? It went down. It was kind of cool because they gave you a little pass that had a name on it and said what part you were in, you know, what class you were part of, or whether I happen out of our family, I'm the only one that died. Because you get to the last room and you find out whether you survived or whether you died. I was a porter, a 19-year-old porter, and it did me in. But can you imagine the fear on the Titanic? I mean, and they had one place where they had, was it a 30-degree angle and then a 45-degree angle, you know, basically. And basically try to hold on when the ship started to go down. Man, that was tough. I mean, just to hold. So, needless to say, this was a scary time. Now, it wasn't the Titanic, but still, it was a scary time. They thought they were going down. And Jesus, in his question, asked them in verse 40, he says, why are ye so fearful? So, point number one, this was a scary time. Point number two, this should have been, now listen, this should have been, let's put what we have learned into practice time. Right? Let's say that again. Somebody's looking at me, huh? This should have been, let's put what we have learned into practice time. Because they've been listening all day to his teaching, right? And more than just one day, they've been sitting under his ministry and hearing him and hearing him, hearing him. Now, this Peter, who is so rambunctious, and there's no mention of him specifically in this story, but he was there. He's the spokesman. He's probably the one that said, Master, don't you care that we're dying, that we perish? He's probably the one, be my best guess at least. Wouldn't it have been a good time for the leadership to rise to the top and say, you know what, this Jesus has been teaching us about this trusting and leaning on him, wouldn't it? It would have been a good time to do that. They had been listening to Jesus' teaching all day and beyond because they'd heard there had been many days. And it's a whole lot easier to give verbal assent that we get it, right? Or even mental assent like, oh, yeah. I mean, preachers do this all the time all across America and all across the world. They get up there and say, you know what? We need to trust God. We need to trust God more every day. You know, we need to lean upon him. And when bad time, and what do? We say, yes, preacher, amen. We might even say amen. We might even shout. We might even raise a hand like Jason did on the balcony here a little bit ago. You know? We might. But it's a whole lot harder to put it into practice when things get scary. Y'all agree with that? It's a whole lot harder to do it and apply it to life. Can you imagine if we really got everything that we've been taught through the years? I've been a Christian 51 years. Going on 51 years, I've been a Christian. And if I'd have got every lesson that I'd been taught, now I don't believe anybody does, but you know, wouldn't it be something if we really, okay, I'm going to internalize that and I'm going to apply it next opportunity I get. Too many times we say, absolutely, absolutely, amen, preacher, absolutely, yes, I agree with the Word of God. But when we get scared, that goes out the door, at least for a little bit perhaps, right? So this should have been a let's put what we have learned into practice time. Number one, this was a scary time. Number two, this should have been a let's put what we have learned into practice time. Number three, this should have been a let's grow in our faith time. This should have been a let's grow in our faith time. Now, granted, those two are related, but you know, there's at least three reasons why the disciples should not have been panicked through all this. And again, they were going through a scary time. Life has lots of scary times. And you have to ask yourself, why in the world was this even put in the Bible? You know, there's lots of stories that could have been put in the Bible. Why was this put in the Bible? I truly, 100%, absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, believe that this was put in there because the Lord Jesus knows that we're going to go through storms. We're going to go through scary times. We're going to go through times when we're scared. So it's put in there for you and I. But there's at least three reasons why these apostles, these disciples, should not have been scared. First, God's promise. God's promise. You know what? Did you catch it, verse 1? Excuse me, the first verse we looked at, not the first verse of the chapter, but verse 35. And the same day when the evening would come, he said unto his disciples, or unto them, that is, let us pass over into the other side. Let us pass over. Let us go to the other side. Now, did Jesus ever lie in his earthly ministry? Nope. Did God ever lie in the Bible? Nope. So, they had the promise right there. Now, you might not have picked up on it. But they had to promise that we're going to make it to the other side. Can I tell you, regardless of how bad it might be, and you might be going through something right now that's scaring the living daylights out of you, and you're just scared. I mean, you just don't know. It's tough to face what you're facing. But guess what? If you're a child of God, we're going to make it. Right? You know, in that passage we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, the Lord is coming back soon to get his children in the rapture. And we looked at that main rapture passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. And I pointed this out near the end of that verse. You know what it says? It talks about the dead who come with Christ through the clouds, our soul and spirit. It talks about we which are alive and remain. They're going to get their new bodies. We're going to go up to the clouds and get our new bodies as we go up. And then it says something like this. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Say that with me. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's a promise from the Lord. They had the promise, let us pass over. We're going to make it. Can I tell you, according to God's word, if you're a child of God, you know him as your Savior, you're going to make it. That ought to help us go through scary times. The second thing that should have convinced them to grow in their faith, Jesus' presence. They should have trusted Jesus was right there. It says in verse 39, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, or the stern of the ship. They had the very presence of Jesus with them. So that scary time shouldn't have scared them. It should have grew their faith and say, all right, first of all, we got God's promise. We're going to go across. We have the promise. We're going to make it home. But just like they had the presence of the Lord, we don't see it physically. But if you know Jesus, do you know whose presence you have in you right now? You got the presence of the Lord, and primarily in the form of the Holy Spirit. When we get saved, right? It's right there. Jesus said, what? Matthew 28:20. At the end of the Great Commission, to say, go you and teach all the world. You know, go out and teach them about Jesus. It says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So it may look scary, but we got the presence of the Lord. That should have helped the disciples. You know what? We're going to be macho men here. We're going to make it. Because Jesus, not only he promised we're going to get on the other side, but his presence, right there he is. Well, we have the promise. We're going to make it. Even if we die in the storm, it's all right. Even if I died in the Titanic, which I did, it's all right, because I know Jesus. So we have God's promise, or Jesus' promise, Jesus' presence. And the third thing it should convince them to grow in faith instead of really act like cowards was Jesus' peace. His peace. What was Jesus doing in the midst of all this? Verse 38 says, in particular, it says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. You know, if Jesus could show such peace, don't you think they should have kind of clicked on this? And you know what? Yeah. He was asleep on a pillow. You'd think they could have connected the dots. How many of you are big connect the dots people? You know, those, I mean, they make them pretty massive, I'm sure now. You know, with all these gazillion dots and you know. Do you think they could have started connecting the dots? That he's not worried about it. If he's not worried about it, why in the world should I worry about it? Can I tell you that the Lord Jesus is not worried about anything? He's not a worrier. If Jesus was a worrier, if our Lord was a worrier, guess what? That would be sin. Worry is sin. I know we sometimes want to go, well, I'm not really worried, I'm just concerned. On the inside, it's probably worry. But Jesus wasn't worried. He never worries. He never frets. He never says, oops. He says, oh, who's going to handle this? He's like, I got it under control. Don't worry about it. That ought to help us when we're going through a scary time to say, you know what? And then beyond that, he speaks peace even. He tells the waves because he's got control over all the elements and everything. He says, peace be still. You know, it was a lot of fun skiing, learning to ski and skiing, especially on Summersville Lake when there wasn't a whole lot of people around. Because sometimes that water would be really smooth. And then you could ride. It was just like, man, this is a nice ride. But when it was a lot of boat traffic, a lot of people skiing, you know, boom, you'd be doing this instead of just, you know, going along. And you could go to one side and you go back to the other side. And guess what? Are you about ready to be impressed? I always had to get up on two skis, always. I never could learn to get up on one ski, but I could kick it off. I could kick one off, and then I could slalom, so to speak. Are you impressed? and if it was nice and smooth, I'd go this side, and I'd go to this side. But, you know, when it was real rough, that may not last very long. You know, I go, where'd he go? I don't know. You know, and I guess that little fear of the water, you know, they said, make sure your ski's up in so they are see. And I, you know, my ski was always up like this, saying, yeah, there's a person there. Then you have to go back and try to find the ski. But I think it was that kind of calmness whenever the Lord said, peace be still. So he spoke peace even to the elements and calmed things down. But you know, when he said that, do you think there might have been a little bit of that directed toward the apostles? Peace. Be still. And whether it was directed there or not, I'm sure that when this got peaceful, they got peaceful. Like, whew, at least some. You're like, wow, okay, that's good. Let's bail the water out of this boat and move on, shall we? You know, but this should have been a let's grow in our faith time. But Jesus scolds them a bit. Oh, he tells us, let's go to John 14:27. You know, the peace that he gives us in our lives, we're going to apply it to today. Before he left, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And that goes for scary times and non-scary times. That goes for good times and that goes for bad times. That goes for challenging times and that goes for times that everything's just going smooth. You got a smile on your face and everybody wonder what you're up to. All that time. He says, "I'm leaving you peace, not as the world." The world gives you peace that lasts for a skinny minute, usually. You know, it's like pretty good there for a moment, but then he basically said, "I'm giving you eternal peace. I'm giving you peace that'll last forever." So he not only speaks peace, I think the disciples get some of that. They say, okay, yeah, I'm feeling more peaceful already. But he even speaks to us and says, you know, when you're going through that scary time, "I left you my peace. My peace I leave you. You got it." Now, whether we call upon it or not, might be a different story sometimes. But he says, and he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" You know, really, the scary times in life ought to help us trust God more. Because I'm sure that most of us say, "Yeah, I can tell you about a scary time, and it was 5 years ago, and we got through it, and everything's good." You know, there was a time when I started pastoring the second church that I pastored. Very shortly after that, they were really concerned about my PSA level and my prostate. I think I went through either 3 or 4 biopsies of my prostate. That's been a good number of years back, and you know, that's kind of scary. I know some of you have had cancer. Some of you may be battling it now under the sound of my voice. Some of us, we really don't know what we got in our body. So I know I'm not speaking anything that you've not encountered too, but that's kind of scary. Finally, I reconciled myself to it. Well, God, you got this. And if you're going to get cancer, prostate cancer is, you know, one of the better ones to get, so to speak. I know that sounds kind of weird to say it that way, but it is. And you know, they know how to deal with it. They can just remove that old prostate if I have to. You know, so you start kind of, but it was kind of scary. And you've had moments like that, scary. And then you get through them and find out it wasn't cancer. It was just enlarged prostate. And they put me on some stuff, and I've had surgery. You know, I'm good, as far as I know. I'm good. Yeah, a little bit higher. My numbers are coming up a little bit again, so you might pray about that. But you know. We don't know why exactly, but they're going up a little bit, nowhere near what they were. They's up, and if you have any idea about what those numbers, I was in the teens there when they did the biopsy, and that's really, really high. They're like, whoa. Went to Cleveland Clinic and had a biopsy too here locally. But I'm just simply saying that to say we all go through scary times. It ought to be a faith-building time, really. And when we've gone through it, we ought to put in our spiritual checklist, if you will, check. God got me through that one. May not have been the way I'd have chose it, but he got me through it. Even if I lose my life, I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, check. And then get to the next one and say, that's a faith building. So, this should have been a let's grow in our faith time. And last point, results of this scary time. Results of this scary time. Peace to the wind and the sea. It says, and the wind ceased. There was a great calm. Peace to the disciples, at least to a degree. Third result was a greater appreciation in all of God, because they were like, whoa, this is something. This is some, what manner of man is this? He got power over the elements. And lastly, they made it to the other side of the shore. So tonight, let me just say a couple comments and we'll wind this thing down. As we preachers sometimes say, I'll land this plane. Life is truly scary at times. If you agree with that, just give me a little nod. Life is truly scary at times. Second thing that I want to remind you of, you're not keeping yourself. God is keeping you. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's not in your hands. Remember I said the roller coaster scary thing? A lot of similarities between a roller coaster, and I felt like holding on gives me a certain sense of security. Well, it's really the harness and the seatbelt and all that. God's really what's keeping you. That's good. I mean, that's good, because what if I lose my grip? Or what if, you know, God doesn't lose his grip. He's got the power. So you're not keeping yourself. God's keeping you. Third thing to think about, let's put what we have learned into practice when we go through scary times. If you've been in a good Bible-believing and preaching church, you've learned lots of lessons in Sunday school, in the sermons, as you read your Bible, and all that. During the vacation Bible school lessons, through all the different things that we do, you've learned lots of good lessons. The best place to put those, the best time to put those into place, is when we're going through scary times. We're like, okay, I got this. You know, like one commentary I was reading on this said, you know what, it was kind of like the practical application of it. It's like, okay, I've taught you, now here's a test. How are you going to do it? So next time you find yourself in a scary time, or you find yourself in a scary time now, say, you know what, I'm going to put those lessons into practice in my life. God's good. God's big. Let's grow in our faith and trust in God, even in the scary time. That's a good time to do it. I really think if we didn't have the scary times, we'd all be little midget, little baby Christians. But we learn how to trust God and have more faith in God through the scary times than we do 100 sunny days that everything goes great. Y'all agree with that? And this is big. If we know Jesus, if you know Jesus as your Savior, and you say, absolutely, I know that I've trusted him as my Savior. I know there was a point in time that I made the decision to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash them clean. I believe, God, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin. There was a time that you meant that from your heart. Lord, I claim Jesus as my Savior. And you did all that in prayer to God the Father and meant it from your heart. If you know that you know that you know that you're saved, guess what? We're going to make it to the other shore. That makes me really happy. You know, those scary roller coaster rides. But your dad's pretty macho, right, Jason? Jason, I can't hear you. I know my limits. But you know, some of them will go upside down and do the loop, you know, like this a lot. My stomach kind of. But I know my limits. I know which runs I can usually ride and which ones I can't. But you know, you go through all that, and then you get back at the station, and you're like, whew. And then you're kind of like, that was fun. You know, if you're a roller coaster kind of guy or girl, now that was fun. And you pull up there, and how's your ride? Oh, good, yeah. Someday we're going to say, God might say to us, how was your ride? I was good. Praise the Lord, I made it. I'm here. And you are going to make it. You are going to make it to the end of the line. You are going to make it to heaven if you know Jesus as your Savior. That ought to give us hope every day. When it's raining, like it's done a lot here lately. When it's cold, like it's been a lot here lately. When you get bad news, like we get quite often, when you hear about a loved one that's not doing well or has passed, through all those times, you know what? The end of the ride is coming. And if you know Jesus, you're secure. That harness is down, that seat belt is fastened, and you're going to make it home. Just keep serving. Would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, let me ask you, just between you and God, has God spoke to your heart tonight that there are scary times in life, and God helping you, you're going to just lean on him a little more, let that grow your faith, and try to put those lessons into practice? If God has spoken to your heart about that tonight and encouraged your heart, would you raise your hand up real high? Say, God has spoke to my heart and encouraged my heart. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hands all over the place. Thank you for raising your hands. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful story, Lord. It's one of my favorites in Scripture. And Lord, I think it's put there because we're all scared at times. But Lord, we got a God, you, that is always there for us. And Lord, you're going to get us home safely. Lord, help us have that confidence, that faith in you every day, even when things are scary. In Jesus' name we pray.